Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you we can bow down to you. We thank you we can worship you. We thank you that we have the freedom to assemble. And we thank you we have the Word of God in our hands. And we thank you for our salvation. And so lead us now in this time of prayer. And first, we want to just worship you in a song and in a brief meditation, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're going to be in 1 Samuel, and we're going to be looking at Hannah's praise, a prophetic praise prayer, really, because it's quite a prophecy in it, but it's a praise prayer. And so we just want to praise the Lord this morning. So on your notes at the top are a couple of verses of praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creations. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, brothers and sisters, draw near. Praise him in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the Amen sound from his people again. Gladly, for we adore him. All right. As we begin this morning, I just want to share with you a little meditation from Mr. Spurgeon. It's on another sheet of paper if you got it. If you didn't, you can pick it up on the way out. But I was just touched by standing on his promises in prayer, and I just wanted to share it with you. It begins with Psalm 119:49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Whatever your special need may be, you may readily find some promise in the Bible suited to it. Are you faint and feeble because your way is rough and you are weary? Here is the promise. He giveth power to the faint. When you read such a promise, take it back to the great promiser and ask him to fulfill his own word. Are you seeking after Christ and thirsting for closer communion with him? This promise shines like a star upon you. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Take that promise to the throne continually. Do not plead anything else, but go to God over and over again with this. Lord, thou hast said it, do as thou hast said. Are you distressed because of sin and burdened with the heavy load of your iniquities? Listen to these words. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions and will no more remember thy sins. You have no merit of your own to plead. Why should he pardon you? But plead his written engagements, and he will perform them. Are you afraid lest you should not be able to hold on to the end, lest having thought yourself a child of God, you should prove a castaway? If that is your state, take this word of grace to the throne and plead it. The mountains may depart, and the hills may be removed, but the covenant of my love shall not depart from thee. If you've lost the sweet sense of the Savior's presence and are seeking him with a sorrowful heart, remember the promises. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. Banquet your faith upon God's own word. And whatever your fears or wants, repair to the bank of faith with your father's note of hand, saying, Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Amen. So you can spend a little time on that if you're led to, and there's a copy of in the chair back there if you want to pick one up on the way out. Well, today we are in 1 Samuel again. A couple of times ago, we had Hannah praying as a barren woman, praying for a son with a promise that she would give it to the Lord. And of course, we know the story, but just reading it anyway, as though you hadn't heard it before. Samuel and Elkanah rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord after she had that prayer of that barrenness, and Eli told her to go her own way, that the Lord would bless her. And it said they went home to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Heard by God, or Samuel, Heard by God, saying, Because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house, I guess that's Peninnah and her kids as well, now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So she is being obedient to giving her son to the Lord of that vow she had made. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. I love it. Only let the Lord establish his word. And so as we're praying, even like with the Spurgeon meditation this morning, as we stand on his promises, only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour, and 1 skin of wine, or in a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, and so now here is her, I'm calling it a prophetic prayer of praise. It's definitely a prayer, it's definitely praise, and it's definitely prophetic. It's very interesting here as she begins. It's very similar to some other prayers we have in the Bible. My heart rejoices in the Lord. Can you say that this morning? My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn or my strength is exalted in the Lord. Amen. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. Can you say that? Now, she's looking forward. In a sense, but Daniel will have this prayer, and she has some prophetic aspects in it, but Daniel has a very similar prayer. Peter also has a prayer. Mary has the Magnificent prayer after she finds out she's going to bear the Messiah. So we have some similarities in this prayer here. And they must have copied it from Hannah, at least some of them, because David certainly would come after Hannah, and of course Daniel as well. Verse 2, No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is any rock like our rock, nor any rock like our God. In 1 Corinthians 10:4 it says, For that what? Rock was Christ. Talk no more very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. It seems like she may be referring to Peninnah there. I'm not sure. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread. And so the Lord turns fortunes around here for those who are obedient to him, and he brings down those who are not. And the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7. And I think she's referring to certainly herself. We don't know. She had 5 more kids. I don't know if there's a 7th one there or what, if this is actually her. But for she has many. Hannah has many children, or she will have, and though she was barren to begin with, but the Lord blessed her. And she who has many children has become feeble. Maybe that's Peninnah, I don't know. And then notice, as we get into verse 6, the Lord kills and makes alive. And I see a hint of the resurrection in that, because the Lord will be killed for our sakes, but he will be made alive, victorious over sin and death. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. So we see the work of God's grace here, don't we? Actually, Hannah, her name means grace. So this is a prayer of Hannah's, a prayer of grace. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. I think she's looking forward here to the great judgment, the prophecy here with the great tribulation, which is still coming, hasn't happened yet. But no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. That certainly sounds like the great tribulation to me. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. So all of those who are so far from the Lord today that we just, you know, would like to wipe them out and so forth, we can certainly feel that way in a sense, but I pray for their salvation. Let the Lord handle them. He's going to judge them. They're going to be held accountable for everything they do, as all of us are. But they need the Lord. They need the Lord. They'll soon bow the knee. The strongest people in the world, take Xi of China with maybe 1.5 billion people under him. He's going to take his last breath just like everybody else. And where is he going? You know, there's not going to be any special place for the kings and those in authority. They'll be going. They'll bow down to Jesus Christ. All of us will. But bow down now to salvation, not later to eternal separation by choice. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. And now notice this. There's two titles here. See if you can ascertain who they are, which you can, I'm sure. He will give strength to his king and exhort the horn of his anointed, the Mashiach. Now we will see it's very clear at this point in time in Israel's history that the king and the priest had to be separate offices. There could never be, you know, remember Uzziah, I think it was, took it upon himself to go into the temple and he got leprosy because he shouldn't have done that because he was a king. He wasn't a priest. He didn't belong there. Saul did some of the same things there by offering sacrifices, and Samuel certainly rebuked him for that. So we see, though, that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is totally different. He will be both king and priest, right? Remember last week we talked about our eternal high priest. He is our eternal high priest. He's also our king, isn't he? I met a lady this week and talking to her just a little bit about the Lord, and she right away said, I'm Jewish. I said, good. My king is Jewish. And she looked at me, and so anyway, it's a good way to talk about the Lord, right? We love Jewish kings, don't we? I worship my Jewish king. He will give strength to his king. Jesus Christ is prophesied here, and exalt the horn of his anointed. That's the Messiah, is Jesus Christ. So we see these great prophecies here. It's a praise, but yet the Lord uses it, in my opinion, as a prophetic prayer. And so we want to remember these things that are given to us here, and we also want to remember to stand on the promises of God, as we had in that meditation there from Spurgeon this morning. Father, we thank you for this praise, prophetic praise, prayer. Help us to be praising you, Lord. And Lord, as the Spirit leads us, even in prophetic prayers, Lord, whether we even know what we're saying or not, in a sense, we know if it is of you, it is very sensible. So lead us now as we pray in a group for a few minutes, and then as we break into our individual little groups of two, we can handle other things. And so, Lord, help us not to be too distracted by the blower this morning, and maybe we can kind of pray loudly in this group so we can all agree with an amen because we can understand the prayer. So guide us and lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us pray.